Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Shift. Sorry again that this is so delayed. I'm always full of excuses. But yeah, life just got in the way and I am moving to a new place soon. I put in an application for a place that I absolutely adore. So if I did get it, I already have like how I can see the podcast being set up and it would be so wonderful, so fingers crossed. But yeah, so just been a bit of a crazy month, and I have like I think 3 or 4 episodes already on Patreon that just haven't gone out on the Shift podcast yet that I need to get out. But that's going to be my focus in the background this week, because I'm traveling a bit this month, but I forgot to put in my avails for shows in April in 2 different places, which is actually grand because I'm traveling, and I'll try to focus on catching up on the podcast. And I have to move. If I get this place, I'll be able to move in on the 4th, but if I don't, I'm going to stay with a friend, and then because I'm traveling so much, it's going to be like fine. But the reason why I have to get a new place is because me and Leland broke up. So obviously in the next few episodes you'll hear me mention Leland as if we're in a relationship, but we're not anymore. And it's all, and I cannot say this word, but amical. I think that word confused me because I know there's like a B in there, but it's silent, right? Or is it? Oh god, I actually don't know how to say words. But it's all friendly and it's all good, and there's not much to say on it other than me just realizing I'm turning 34 this year, and kind of, you know, kind of like, what do I want in my life? Where am I going? What do I need to put my focus on? And so that was kind of that. I kind of had been talking to him for a few months about kind of like what I want in the future, and it just wasn't really aligning. But also he only turned 29, so we're just in different sort of stages. And the things that I want as well, I wouldn't want to like turn into a nag. Whereas like someone who's 29, that's perfectly fine to not necessarily be kind of striving for the same goals. And yeah, so that was kind of really it. And I just want to make sure that I learned my lesson from my last long-term relationship and like kind of break up when the time is right and not continue down a road where you end up being bitter. And I just adore Leland. He's like one of the greatest people. So I hope that we can maintain a friendship, which already in the last few days we've been so respectful of each other, and he's been so brilliant. So I really do think we will. And I want you guys obviously to still support him and follow him. So yeah, really honestly, couldn't be a better breakup. And I'll probably do a Patreon episode about it, but not like, there's nothing really to say, there's no gossip, there's no tea, just how I think we kind of hit the nail on the head on how a good breakup can happen. So I think that will be kind of a fun solo episode to do. Fun is probably the wrong word to use, I just use the, you know, but you know what I mean, as in like I feel like we both had kind of in our relationship learned how to communicate so well, and I'd gone to therapy, and I think both of us are kind of trying to prioritize being respectful to each other and making sure that whatever we do is leads to us being able to maintain a friendship. So yeah, so there'll be no tea or no gossip, there's no like someone did this, someone did that, there was no cheating, there was no nastiness. It was just a few months of sitting down kind of thinking like, okay, well what do we want for the future? And I do really feel like this is the year for me potentially to really focus on comedy and kind of get that, and then decide if I want to have kids, because I haven't even decided that yet as well. So I need to get my shit together. And our apartment, as lovely as it is, was getting a bit small for 2 people in it. And I think as well, I've never lived alone. I'm kind of excited in a way, scared, because that could be quite scary, but also excited to kind of do that and really just like set up a desk, focus on comedy, this is the year. Some really good things have happened in comedy for me as well since I spoke to you last. I got an agent and a manager, and I absolutely love the managers. It's already been so exciting, and they have great plans and things are happening with that. So thanks again, as usual, for all your support. And they were talking to someone had emailed me about doing a live podcast in Ireland. I'll be back for the month of July, so keep an eye out, because so I have like the international agent, the American agent, and then the management team. And the international agent is talking to Ireland about shows, so but like doing outside of Dublin as well. So I will keep you posted. And the live podcast, that would be so much fun. And hopefully my friend Athir, who you guys would have seen on the shows before if you'd been to them, will be there in July as well. So hopefully she'll be a guest. And I'm trying to think, was there anything else? This episode, again, all these episodes were recorded like in January, and then I kind of, February was so busy, and God, March, where did March even go? March, we were going, you know, we were kind of processing feelings and breakups and stuff like that. So, but if you do listen to this now, you can go watch the video on the Patreon, and I'll be putting up solo episodes there as well. And where am I next? This Friday, I'm in Brokerage in New York. It's kind of like a bit out, it's like on the island, I think. It's so, yeah, it's Long Island. I'm such an idiot. For a second I was like, is Long Island in New York? Yes. Oh my God, I've been here 9.5 years. And then I'll be in Stamford on a Sunday, so 7 p.m. on Sunday. So even if you're here, and there's also a great Gaelic match, by the way, on Sunday, but that's 3 to 5, so you can still have time to come up to the show. I'll be going to the Gaelic match as well. God, it's a very long intro, sorry. So that's really it. And this week's episode is with Helen Wildley. She's absolutely brilliant. She's from Ireland. She moved over to the States when she was 6. And we talk a bit about her mom being Protestant and her dad being Catholic, and them getting together, obviously, during the Troubles, and then moving over to the States and what that was like as a young Irish girl. And she also talks about dating a bit too, as a lesbian woman. So yeah, that's really it. It's a really fun episode. She's absolutely brilliant. To make sure to go check out her album. All the information will be in the description. And please sign up to the email list, because obviously I'll let you know when the live podcast is happening and if I'll be in a city near you, and let me know where you are so I can go to that city, because the more emails I have for that city, the more likely I'll go there. But other than that, thanks a million and enjoy this episode.
So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you
so much. Helen Wildley, right?
Yeah, Wildley.
Wildley. Yeah. Wow. How do you spell it?
Wildley. Like, you're right.
Is it like W-I-L-E?
W-I-L-D-Y.
Oh, no. Yeah, then yeah. I was thinking like you're one from Sex Education. That's why I think I just automatically read it like that. Wow, I always fuck up Irish names on this podcast.
It's all right.
That's why if anybody else, anybody gets annoyed with me mispronouncing a name, I'm like, I have 4 episodes where I have mispronounced Irish
it's
names.
Evident. It's not just you. That's amazing. Yeah. Boyle, is it?
Yes. I wish it was the Irish name. I was just saying that to Leland, because in Guelga, my name is Cachín Ní Bhuail. And I'm sure someone will message me and be like, you're not even pronouncing that right. Yeah, yeah. And I just feel like all the names that people can't pronounce are the Irish people who get successful.
Yeah.
Aisling B had to change hers because hers was Aisling Ní Fhearbhail. I don't know. And then...
She's like, about B?
Yeah. Someone in England was like...
And they're still like, Bia?
That's so true. And then Killian Murphy, Paul Mescal, mm-hmm. they pronounce all their names wrong. So yep. I should be a Cachín Ní Bhuail. Cachín Ní Bhuail is too easy.
I know, you got to change it.
Yeah.
I know, I should start going by Wildy because it is like easier to, you know, just Wildy.
Wildy. Wait, how do you say it again?
It's Wildy.
Wildy. Ah, but yeah, but still.
Wildy.
You know? Yeah. They just,
it's a name. What's in a name, you know, as I say?
I'm going to move this down a bit out of my
babying
face. This is good, yeah. I think. Ooh. Yeah, that's better. Hard to see with the lights. Mm-hmm. I can't really see what's in the camera.
What lights? This is our natural glow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, this is my face.
This is just how we look.
So for the listeners, obviously you're a comedian. Well, that's not obvious. I should say you are a comedian, because who knows? I've had people on who aren't before. And then you were born in Northern Ireland, mm-hmm. in Belfast.
That's right.
And moved over when you were 6.
That's right. Well done.
And then Pittsburgh.
To Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, yeah.
That's so funny to me. Oh, wait. We were going to say, you had said before you got on the podcast that when women date you, that they're disappointed that you're Irish and don't have an accent.
Yeah,
it?
I feel bad for them because like they got a girl from Ireland and then yeah. It's like I came over from Ireland and then it's like just the most American like accent. Like it must be their friends must just slag them off all the time. Like, oh, is this your Irish girlfriend? Yeah. And I'm like, howdy.
Yeah. I feel like though, then you know that they really like you because yes. I feel like sometimes I see Irish guys with American women and I'm like, I don't know if it's you or the accent. Uh-huh.
I know they go wild for, but you know what? I had a wee Irish accent when I came over, obviously. And then American kids I found did not go wild for it the way that those same adults do.
Yeah.
They were like, why do you talk like that? You sound, you know, and I was like, I'm from Ireland. And they were like, I'm Irish. And it was like, and it was a very confusing, like when I was like, oh, okay. I was like, well, you know, I didn't, everyone I knew in Ireland sounded like me.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I guess we're all Irish now.
And so
we talk like this.
Yeah, I love how they're like, that is the most American thing to be like, no, I'm Irish. Yeah.
Someone once told me, and they were not joking, they were like, how old were you when you came here? And I was like, oh, 6 and a half. And they go, oh, so you're not really Irish. My uncle's Irish. He's from Boston.
Stop. I can't even.
And I thought it was obviously, I was like, that's either the best joke ever or the craziest thing I've ever heard.
If it's a joke, it's hilarious.
If it's a joke, it's perfect.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
Yeah.
I was the only one laughing.
I mean, I feel like that they've over here, they have a different definition for the word Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Ireland, you're like, oh, I'm Irish. But here they mean like ethnicity. It's nearly like they'd be like, oh, well, I have more percentage of green in me. I don't know. It's like confusing.
Like a DNA test situation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all I know is
born in Ireland. Yeah. And they're like, well, I'm Irish.
Or they'll think like, so you came over from Ireland. They're like, oh, was your family in the military? And I'm like, nope. Parents are Irish. Grandparents are, you know, it's just like,
oh, they
we're
got
the first.
That.
Yeah. Cause they're like, I'm an American person who they're like, oh, but you were born there, but you sound like this. It's always very confusing people.
Yeah.
I try not to bring it up, especially to Irish people. Cause I don't want to be like, I'm also Irish. Cause that, you know,
cause they are,
y'all get
I'm
that
sure
so
they
much.
Automatically think like, oh, sure.
Yeah.
Like,
they're
Irish
like,
American.
Yes.
And you're like, no, I actually lived there for 6 years.
Yeah. Go back all the time. Family's there. You know, we're the only ones who left.
And what you said that, I read that article on the Irish Star.
Thank you. They sent me yours as an example.
Oh my God. I was like, imagine you just said the same answers word for word.
Yeah. It's like the community is amazing.
Yeah. I'm from Kildare.
I'm from Kildare. You can tell by my accent.
No, so you said, you had said that you would practice losing your, you'd practice the American vowels to try
and lose
the accent.
It was a tricky, you know, because... I've heard you say too that like you do have to sort of change the words a bit because it's like harder for people to get, especially on stage. It's like you don't have time to be like, you know, dealing with sort of the differences. And so I remember when my brother was in Boy Scouts and he's like, I've got Boy Scouts after school, and just like the arts of it all, like they just were like, they were like, what? And he'd be like Boy Scouts, and they're like, oh boy, like they just couldn't, you know, figure it out. And so we were like, you know what, this is a waste of our time.
It is like speaking a different language.
So
your brother lost the accent too. Was he older?
They all, they're four. I'm the youngest of four. Mm-hmm. And they were much older. They're 15, 12, and 8.
When they came over.
And we all sound like this. I mean, it was a different time. It was in the 90s. You know, there were no like Irish accents anywhere.
I had cousins who were born in America and moved back to Ireland like when they were 8, 9, and 10 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost the American accents too.
You just want to blend in.
The thickest Irish accents.
Yeah. And then when we would go back over for, you know, to see the family, then it was like it would come back, but then our cousins would be like, oh, now they're like the American cousins.
Yeah.
You know, so they'd be like, nope, sound American. And we'd be like, hey, little
That's
lady.
That's so stressful.
Yeah, it was a weird experience.
Yeah. Do you wish you had the accent?
When I'm trying to pick up the ladies.
All of a sudden you're like, I can't do an ordinary Irish accent. I can only do it in my
name.
No one can.
I'm happy with my accent, but. It does. I do feel like just because people are disappointed when they find it, there's a lot of like, oh, I wish you had an Irish accent. And I'm like, well, I wish you had been in my elementary school.
Yeah.
Because
it's weird. It is like a fetishized thing.
Yeah.
But I guess because we are like, we'll just take what we can get.
Yeah.
We're like, okay.
Okay. Glad you. Thank you for liking it.
Yeah. And so you spent the first 6 years in Belfast.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow, Lisburn for the Belfast people.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of amazing, like some of my favorite comedians back home are Belfast based.
Yeah, Belfast's great.
I love the
Sunners
too.
Over, yeah.
but like they're really talented comics.
It's a wonderful scene up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't performed in the South yet, but I got to do some Derry gigs and some Belfast gigs last time I was over for cousin's wedding now. I'm like, and while I'm here, pop around and do some gigs.
Did you find it warm, like welcome or?
Very welcoming, very fun. Yeah, great crowds over there, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. How is it for you going back?
Oh, yeah, it's great, yeah. But I feel like I go back a lot, so. Mm,
like a hometown hero now, you conquered America.
not in my hometown, but definitely I feel like I do get a lot of support now, which is great. Mm-hmm. And you had said, because I want to make sure I do this in the right. You had said that your parents in the article had mm-hmm. met during the Troubles, and mm-hmm. they were, one was Protestant and one was Catholic.
Yeah.
And is that
wild?
Yeah.
A real Romeo and Juliet situation.
Right?
Yeah, it was
so romantic.
It was a big controversy, and they're, you know, they got married in 1976, so deep in it, you know, and then we left in 1992. So,
and did they leave? That's a long time after. Did they leave because of that, or?
No, I mean, at the beginning, I think both families were like, "What is going on?" Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as sort of. They had this wonderful relationship, started to have kids, you know, once the kids come around, everyone's like, okay, I guess he's got these little secular kids.
Were you brought up Catholic or Protestant?
Neither.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That is growth.
It's
That's
wild.
Gonna solve every, just make the people fall in love.
We healed it. Love can heal everything. Yeah. You know, it was wild because when we would, people might not know that, you know, schools in Ireland are religiously affiliated. Yeah. And so when we were in any school, my parents would go in and be like, look, we're, you know, Catholic and a Protestant. And if they came home talking any shite about either side, we're going to, you know,
pull them. School. Yeah. Good for your
Which
parents.
Apparently was a big threat. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who cares if we get pulled? We got pulled anyway. Went to America.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But no, my dad got offered a job here and in Belgium. And they were like, well, let's go to America for a couple of years, we thought. A couple of years, 30 years now.
And your parents are still in America?
Still in America.
Wow. Still together?
Still together.
Wow.
Catholic and a Protestant.
Love conquers
Get
all.
Yourself a little Protestant lady. You never know.
I feel like that was always like, you know, I'm sure, I don't know, but I'm sure like around that time, young Catholic girls in the South, that was probably like, ooh, the bold thing we'll give you with a Protestant.
I know. So naughty. Wow, a Protestant.
I mean, it was dangerous too, though, mm-hmm. for your mom was Catholic?
My mom's Protestant.
And your dad was Catholic? Okay. It was dangerous too for both, though.
Very dangerous for both, yeah.
It's not just like, oh, your parents will be mad for any of the listeners. It was like either side, you could get killed.
Yeah, it was very dangerous.
Yeah.
Very, very dangerous for sure. And in fact, I know my Auntie Una would say that when she was out, you know, they would use different names because Una's such a Catholic name, you know. Yeah. And so when they were out, like with my mom, like in the Protestant, like, you know, trying to blend in.
Well, would she say, my name is Matilda? Yeah. I don't know. What's like a. Anglo-Saxon like, Protestant.
Yeah.
Margaret, is that Protestant?
I don't know. I think so.
Yeah, that's wild. Because, yeah, you'd hear stories about people getting kind of like killed just for talking to the other mm-hmm. side or whatever.
And people are always, you know, well, at least then they were anyway, putting together subconsciously like, oh, you're from West Belfast. Oh, like what school did you go to? You know, like, and even if you're not on a conscious level being like, are you Catholic or Protestant? There was like such a, you are just figuring it out a
bit. It's so interesting, even just about the names. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, you wouldn't want to be like a.
And the uniforms and like, you can tell sort of like, ah.
I mean, when I went to the North for like, I went to Belfast for the first time in October and you can see.
First time.
Yeah. I was brought up very much like, it's scary to go up there.
Dangerous.
And they're like, when I was 8, the borders came down, but they were still like, I mean, yeah, I mean, I feel like that generation before me, there was still that sort of like,
why risk it? Like, it's dangerous. Yeah, totally.
I don't think any of my family, before me,
like,
would
let's go on holiday.
All the Patricks and Seamuses and Porricks in my family and Jimmys and I couldn't be more Irish Catholic if they tried. But it was so weird to see like this. It's like you'd still see streets with like the English flags and then streets mm-hmm. with the Irish flags. And then go to the area where there's like that peace wall. That's like kind of terrifying. It's like a big, like even when we walked down the wrong like street and it was clearly like, it was such a clearly Catholic family street because there was all flags out the window and there were so many fucking kids. They were just running around everywhere. But behind their houses, you could see the fence and it's just like, wow, just like an insight to what it must have been like to live in that time where you're living behind a fence.
It's crazy.
Like a huge tall, like for any listeners, I mean, not just a fence, like the size of a 8-story building. Like
massive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez. Peace. Nothing screams peace like a massive fence.
Crazy to think that was like, and then you can go on the other side, but there's a big what's it called, like a big gate with like not like barbed wire but like spikes sticking mm-hmm. out of it. Mad. Like just like, anyway, glad your parents didn't get killed.
They're still going strong. Yeah. It's very sweet. Yeah, I know. I have cousins on, you know, both Catholic and Protestant side. And I remember one of my Catholic cousins and I were going up to Giant's Causeway for like a little. Because, you know, Irish people don't tour around Ireland much.
Yeah. I just went to Giant's Causeway because my American friends were.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I was like, you know, I was like, just come up. It's beautiful. And she's like, okay. And then, you know, we put over and there was like, yeah, the Union Jack was on a thing and she was real nervous and then she was like, do you think they can tell? And I was like, I think they're gonna be distracted by the Americans around. Like, I was like, I'll just be so American. Don't. It's like, no, I don't know.
Am I in Ireland?
I was like, hello.
Or England right now?
Sounds so Scottish. Yeah. I love your Scottish
accent.
Is it accent.
Scotland? That's so funny.
It's different than I thought.
This is just like Brave, the movie.
Wow, Merida.
Yeah, and obviously for the listeners, it's completely fine now because thank God for peace.
Yay.
And you know, people working together.
The wall worked.
Yeah.
The peace wall.
I mean, I think the wall was always, the wall was the thing separating them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think
keep
the fact.
It apart. Yep.
But the.
Yeah, it's great now. And it's a great, and it's a beautiful city and it's a wonderful place to visit.
Yeah, taking down the borders and all that stuff. And they, because it was the people. The people don't want that. They don't want to be.
Definitely not. Yeah, I just want to be safe and, you know.
Did you remember going to like it was just something Aaron McCann was telling me, and I'll give him a shout out because he was something he said, but how we would go to his parents are Protestant Catholic too. Mm-hmm. And again, it would have been very controversial too for that time, but mm-hmm. He would have went to the area where people summer for Protestants 1 year and the area where they summer for Catholics another year. Do you remember doing that? Did you do that?
We'd holiday in France, to be honest.
Like,
our move has always been to leave the country.
Yeah, because he had said that, like, he was so funny. He was like, the amenities, and I'll ask him, can I share this before I actually post it? But he said the amenities, he was like, oh, they were so much nicer in the Protestant summer camp. It was so much better to go there, and it was so run down, the Catholic one. And he was just kind of like, you know, and I was like, are you just now figuring out about inequality? Like, yeah, the Catholics were treated like minorities, and they didn't have. They wouldn't get as nice places. And he was like, oh. So just as a kid, he was like, yeah. Wow. But yeah, that's why it's wild. That's so interesting. And so then were your parents, because I know you mentioned too in that article about like coming out to them, were they more do you think they were more understanding because they kind of had this similar kind of.
They did not see the similarity.
Oh my
though
God.
Though I did point it out often. And, you know, I was like, love is love. Look, y'all. And they're like, when did you start saying y'all? I just lived in the South for a couple of years.
They're like, love is love, but only for us.
Yeah. They were like, it's different.
Did they come? They obviously came around to it, though.
Oh, yeah. No, they've been pretty great the whole time. Great. Yeah. It's a little bit of like, oh, you know, you're gay. And I was like, hey, okay, cool.
How old were you when you came out?
I was 22.
22.
Yeah. So. I came out and like as soon as I figured it out, because I'd always been like, had such a crush on Topanga, you know what I mean?
Just
like,
Topanga?
Oh, she's from Boy Meets World. It's also so funny. You know how like, I feel like so much of like how you grew up is like your cultural touchtones.
Yeah.
And when people are like, I'm 100% Irish, I'm like, do you know who Westlife is?
Yeah. I'm like, I fancy Samantha Mumba. Yeah. And she liked something I shared of her music recently. And I was like, have I made it?
You're like, oh my gosh. Incredible. But no, just like... I just always like had like crush on girls, but in fact I remember in like second or third grade, it was Valentine's Day coming up, and I gave.
What is second or third grade? What age is that?
It's like P3 before.
What is that?
Oh, it's
because I'm from the South. Oh. You're speaking so many different languages. I'm like, is that first class?
It's like 8, 9.
Okay, 8, yep. 9. Yeah.
And so I gave my Valentine to another girl, yeah. And the teacher was like, you have to give it to. Give it to Ryan.
Jesus.
And I was like, okay, well.
Oh my God. I wonder if
Ryan's
that teacher.
Ryan's hair isn't as cute.
Yeah.
Ryan's hair doesn't flow.
Smell as nice.
Yeah.
Nice boy. I wonder if the teacher ever thinks about that. That's so weird that a teacher would step in and be like.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Like, and I was just like, okay, we'll give it to whoever. I was like, I didn't want to give these out.
Yeah.
You gave this to me. Yeah. Don't want to give it to somebody. But, you know, they were cool.
And then you were 22. What was, were you in Pittsburgh at the time?
I was in Pittsburgh at the time. And
do they have a good LGBT scene?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's pretty hip.
Yeah. Even when you were 22.
Even when I was 22, yeah. They've for the size of the city, they've got so many gay bars and gay spaces. Oh, and so they were like gay happy hours and like, yeah.
Oh, that's probably, I don't know. I shouldn't speak for Ireland, but do you mind if I ask how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 37 and I'll be 38.
So that would have been, I can't do maths, 15?
Yeah.
15 years ago. Yeah. And I think Ireland's, oh my God, amazing now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I also, it wasn't my experience there, so I shouldn't talk about it, but I can just imagine that sounds maybe better than being in Ireland, especially if you're in rural Ireland. There's no gay bars in rural Ireland. Mm-hmm. But you were in Belfast, so yeah. I don't know. Belfast could have been.
I know. I wonder how it would have been. I also wonder, like, if I'd grown up there, like, who would I be, you know?
Yeah.
What a mystery.
Yeah.
But no, I have a friends there who've come out and they've had a pretty good experience too.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think in the family I paved the way.
Yeah, yeah.
For anybody.
But I feel like though it must be different though to grow up in a city where there's loads of gay bars and I don't know how many gay bars there are in Belfast. I'm sure there's a lot more now, but
yeah, I wonder though if you would know about them. Like if Pittsburghers are like, oh, do we have a lot of gay bars? Unless it's just like that community is like
Yeah.
You know, like you're going to be like, oh, is that a gay bar? You
yeah, know? I guess so. Yeah. Like, I know Cork is pretty and Dublin's pretty good, but actually, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Went to a pretty cool gay bar in Belfast one time. It was really fun. Had a great time.
Belfast is so much good crack. I had the best time at the bars there.
It's the best.
Honestly, I can't wait to go back. We went to the Arts District.
This is just a visit Belfast campaign.
Oh, seriously. I was like, oh, thank God we're allowed to be here now.
They opened it. It was crazy. When my Catholic grandmother died, my cousins from the other side came, you know, from they're from Armagh, and they came and they were like, Helen, never would we be in West Belfast. They're looking around. They're like, this is incredible. They loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it's the same. No, everywhere is the same.
I love Belfast, yeah, Belfast so much. And I only was there for a few days and we stayed in this amazing Airbnb that was looking out on the river and I was
ooh,
like, this is a great city.
It's cool.
Let me see what the other question I wanted to ask you was. I already did it. I had Irish accent, Belfast, prod cal. Because I always do like shorthand. Like when I'm writing stuff about like, you know, anything, I always write shorthand. So there's all the, anyway, gay coming out.
That's me. And that's my bio you just read.
I just edited your bio for you.
Thank you so much. Now it'll fit.
Okay, what else did I want?
I do feel like the only thing I've kept from my Irish accent is how fast I talk.
Yeah, yeah.
I do feel like Americans.
Oh, thank God, though. I'm working on a bit. Well, it's not. I have a bit about it. So sometimes I feel guilty doing on it because I don't know who I'm offending in the bit. But what happened was I was on stage and there was an Irish person in the audience, so I just started talking really fast, and then this guy was like, oh, you need to slow down. We don't understand. And I was like, sorry, I don't talk like I've had a head injury. But then I was like, I don't want to insult people with head injuries. I feel bad for them. I don't care if I'm insulting Americans. Yeah. But it's also like, when you grow up, I didn't grow up with a big family until my dad had a big family. But I find if in Ireland in general, if you don't speak fast, you're not getting heard.
No way.
If you start going and then I went, someone will just go, fuck off and just go on and talk over you. Because
it's like the Uncle and Dairy girls, they're just going to
get get to the point.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Did you go to like a lot of Irishy things growing up? Did you find as well, if you, okay, firstly, okay, wait, I just did the thing where I asked the second question before you gave the answer. Okay. Did you go to a lot of Irishy things growing up?
Not particularly. In fact, it started like my sweet mom worked in elementary school. And so every like St. Patrick's Day, they'd be like, oh, tell us about leprechauns. My mom would be like, gonna make up some stuff about leprechauns, you know. Yeah. But no, we didn't do like that much. There was like a big Irish like contingent in Pittsburgh. They have like a big St. Patrick's Day parade every year. But no, we just felt like, you know, chef's cons at home and chill. Like not much going on. We're trying to blend in.
Well, that's the second thing I was going to say was that I'd imagine it's very different when you actually come from Ireland, because I feel like, especially with you guys as kids, like it's nearly like a different culture, the Irish American culture. Mm-hmm. So some of the stuff they might be celebrating or talking about is nearly from a different time.
Right. It's not directly related.
Yeah, yeah. Because even that the way they sometimes talk about the IRA or the way they talk about like, you know, their family coming from Ireland, and you're like, wow, that place has changed so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Even like what IRA they might be talking about could be a very fucking different IRA that your parents experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And then the things like, oh, we're Irish, so blah 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 about the Catholic Church. And it's like, actually, people in Ireland now have really stepped away because the Catholic Church was so oppressive to women and, you know, got rid of all their babies and forced them not to like when Ireland separated from England, which is great and stuff like that, but I feel like bringing in the Catholic Church really oppressed women.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and we got gay rights and all that stuff. And so sometimes you'll hear an Irish American here and I'm like, oh no, you're in a different timeline. Yeah. Than like, me.
Go over.
Yeah. We're like multicultural and and you know, can you have abortions and stuff like that? And so it's like sometimes they're a bit time capsuled. Not everybody, but it is like, then I go to some Irish stuff here and I'm like, oh, this is so great. They're doing Irish dancing, they're learning the language, and it's so nice to see that element of the, or paying ga to see that kind of spread. And I like when it's spread to non-Irish DNA. If you're in America, like seeing, there's like an Australian guy here who plays on the football team here, and oh my god, someone's gonna tell him and be like, Katie mentioned you in the podcast, the poor guy's gonna have to go listen and then be like, oh, she didn't say anything bad. He's like, I think he's like,
what a journey he just went on.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, because you know the way people pass information. But he's the captain of like Manhattan Gales here or something like that, and he's Australian. But I've never heard him refer to himself as Irish Australian. So like, that's really fun to see, like someone be like, oh, I like this sport, I'm gonna like the Gaelic culture in general can be open to everybody, and I love that. That was a long way to say nothing really.
I do think at the end of the day, because I had, you know, a lot of conflicting feelings about it growing up with everyone being like, you know, feeling like they were 100% Irish and I wasn't. And I was like, but I'm from Ireland. You know, it was just like, it was a very confusing time.
That's so weird, though, to say to you, you're not 100% Irish.
Excuse me. Yeah. It was very confusing. And like, and I feel like I did have like a bit of a bitterness about it as a kid. And then I got to a place where I was like, oh, actually, like, it's such a unique immigrant experience to come somewhere where like they're obsessed with your home country is like, almost no one has that experience except for Ireland, you know.
And but it's weird because you had, they're obsessed with your home country, but then they didn't like your accent, but then they liked your accent. I know. It's so, also,
it was weird. And now they're like, why don't you sell your from Ireland? And I'm like, I just can't have any more notes about my accent.
Yeah.
Not really receiving feedback anymore.
People just mimicking you immediately.
Oh yeah, I see it happen with my parents all the time. They'll be talking to someone and their inflection just starts to change as they're talking to them. And I'm like, oh, you sound
They really are
different.
Like, no. You know when you read about like narcissists and they mirror you, and I'm not saying that Americans are narcissists, but they definitely do the mirroring thing by accident. And you know, because you'll just be like, oh yeah, I was going down the road there, and then they put on the dinner, and then the person will be like, oh my God, wow, you got the dinner, you know, like, or they just can't, like, if it's or then they're like, is there any crack? And I'm 33, so it's the worst.
Is there any crack?
Yeah. Oh, 33 is the worst age to be in America. Yeah. I'm not excited about turning 34, but it'll be easier then, like, because immediately when you say, when someone says what's your age and I say 33, and then they're like, oh, I'm 33. They can't help it.
33 and a turd.
It's like when someone has Tourette's or something. Yeah. So you're just kind of like, I know that you can't control this.
Yeah. You're like, I like to think this is joy I've triggered in you somehow and not some sort of insane.
You know, and let them do it to us. Yeah. It's better them doing it to us than like someone who's coming to the country who's already struggling with racism. Do you know what I mean? So
language.
You're like, yeah, do my accent.
Let Irish people take the hit for this.
Get it out of your system before you meet my friend who is from Peru and deals with shit from your fucking system.
Say 33. You'll love it. Try it.
I was going to ask you, did you play Gaelic football over here or anything like that? Or
I did not. My brother played rugby growing up and I did nothing. I did nothing Irish, honestly. My nieces now are in like Irish dance.
Yeah.
Which is cute. You know, skips a generation, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've gotten more Irish since I moved here. I'm like trying to relearn the language. I've taught Leland. Leland comes in. He goes, "Cud is a tattoo, Prati?" So he's saying, how are you to the cat, to the cap. But really what he's saying is, how are you, potatoes? I'm trying to relearn it. And
How's your immigrant experience been?
I do feel like I got more Irish when I moved over here, because all of a sudden it was like people here identify as where their parents or their grandparents or their great-great-great-great-grandparents are from, and no one is really like claims to be from America, whether that's to not be offensive to Native Americans or just because they don't want to be, they want to be something different than American or whatever. And then you got those really patriotic as well, but like living in New York City, everybody's is like, well, very invested in their culture, and which is amazing. And I think that happens to immigrants too sometimes, like When you come over, you're just kind of like, what am I? Oh, well, I'm the Irish. Mm-hmm. Or people put that on you. You're the Irish. So they start asking you things about Ireland. You're like, I don't fucking know.
You're like, how do I go to that part of Ireland?
I'm like, oh, here you go. I'm just like doing a fake dance.
That's what my mom would do.
Yeah, they're like, what? How do you say this in Irish? And I'm like, but then you're like, oh, this is such a nice culture that I grew up in. And like, I played Gaelic football. I did like also not really take it seriously and like smoke cigarettes behind the goalposts and stuff like that. But just that thing that like you do. I grew up with my dad telling me like about Irish folklore every night and stuff and the history, obviously. And I guess you just don't think about it as much until you leave. And I think Ireland now, in Ireland, more recently, they're really talking a lot more about Gaelic culture and like learning the language. So that's really cool. I think your experience, though, as a child, and your mom and dad's experience, is like, for me, such the Irish experience. And I know that Irish experience is different for everybody else, but like growing up learning like about the history, or even like just seeing what was going on in the news a little bit, but I would have been so small. But I feel like your parents really had the, you know, because they grew up in this sort of Irish conflict that people in the South didn't, not like my parents would never, at my age, I wouldn't have experienced, because it was just, it felt like history that they were still, and for you to be living as a 6-year-old in this kind of like, this Catholic Protestant English Irish up the north. So then to come over here and people be like, you're not really Irish. I'm like, you're fucking more Irish than all of it. Like you grew up in that where you were like, that's not weird. Catholic, not Protestant, this sort of,
not Irish, not American. Yeah, just so, like, who am I?
But it's just like, it's just for me that, and that might be just me with a I do think there's different Irish experiences, and I think Irish Americans too. It's not to negate their Irish experience either, because they're coming from the time capsule off the coffin ship, famine. Their parents talking about their grandparents talking about it, like spread down on them. Their great grandparents.
And now that I see my nieces and nephews, they have grandparents from Ireland. My parents. It is like, you know, these little American kids with these Irish. I'm like, oh, I see. It is lovely. I'm like, that is sweet. How much they identify, you know. Like, and I'm like, I just think of them, and I'm like, that is very cute, actually, to be like so connected to your grandparents' culture. In whatever way you can. Yeah, it is. It is interesting to think of it. It does seem so long ago, that history, but it is like. What age are you?
I'm 33, so I would be.
Oh, that's right. Like, that's what you're saying.
You just keep asking for the podcast. But I would have been like 7 turning 8 when the last the kind of like bombs that made it was funny, because Vivian O'Callaghan was on the podcast that I haven't put up the episode yet, but by the time this comes out they will have heard the episode, and we talked a bit about the north. But I said the Oma, but whatever way they pronounced it, Oma, I pronounced it weird, and she thought I said Omaha. No, so it's Omaha. Omaha's a place in America.
Oma.
So whatever way I said it, she's from Cork, so she would have pronounced it differently, but she thought I said Obama, and she was like, Obama bombed Ireland. Like, she was like, what? But anyway, just
this just in.
But yeah, so I would have been 8.
That's wild.
Or 7 or 8. But how old were you? You left in 92, so the troubles or the stuff would have been really seriously happening.
Yeah, it was still happening. Yeah.
Like,
it was a big time. Yeah. And then it was also, you know, we're in Lisburn, which was mixed families like ours, you know, and like or Catholics and Protestants who were cool with each other. And it was, I think my parents were a little nervous about, you know, having older kids and like someone, you know, just, did you see the movie Belfast?
Yeah. I've been thinking about this the whole time.
It was crazy to watch a movie where it's like, essentially your parents are the protagonists of this film. And you're like, you know, you see like, they're worried about someone slipping something to their eldest kid. And like, you know, now he's involved in either side. And it's like, it was a stressful time, I think, for them, especially to be there. And it's not that long ago. It's also amazing how much people have no idea that any of this has happened. People you talk to, like, I do jokes about Northern Ireland sometimes, and it's like, it has been helpful with Dairy Girls. But like, truly, it's like some people are like, they just have no idea what you're talking about. And you're like, oh. Never mind. We'll move on.
And I mean, Irish Americans have no clue.
Yeah, they have no idea.
And that's the Irish Americans where it's kind of confusing sometimes, when they're like, oh yeah, no, I'm 100% Irish, I love Ireland. But then they literally have never been or actually don't know anything about it. Whereas the Irish Americans who really get into it.
There's some Irish Americans who know more about Irish history than I do.
I'm like, that's really cool.
I'm like, nailing it.
And I'm like, shit, I need to learn more.
I'm like, I have to go read a book. I'll be back.
I know. Here's me judging and I'm like, wait, thank you for educating me.
What year was that?
So those first 6 years, do you remember anything, what it was like?
I do. I remember it because I think because I had such a formative change happen at that age, it's like, I think I have much more memory of it than maybe a regular 6-year-old would, because it was like, I remember I was in class and like this teacher who didn't like me very much, and it was P3, aka and she was like, hey, one of you, every time she said one of you, it was me. Like, that's what I knew. And she was like, one of you is moving to America. And I was like, you know, and then she like pulled out a globe and spun it. This is like 92. So it's pre-internet. It's pre. And she spun this globe so slowly. She's like, here's us. And she was like, and I was like, that's where we're going. I couldn't believe. And I went home and I was like, where are we going? Brought the globe home. Like, is this? And I just couldn't believe. So it was very like formative. And then coming here and feeling like, okay, didn't know anyone on this continent except for my brothers, my parents. Great way to make your children like each other. I think good bonding. We're very close.
That is very bonding. Yeah.
We're very, very close to this day. And it's like, you know, go to school and you're like, okay. Everyone's like, you talk funny. I had one friend whose dad's from Scotland. So she knew what I was saying.
Yeah.
Helpful. Yeah. And everyone else was like, what are you talking about? Or they'd be like, what do you call this? And I'd be like, can I get some chips? And they'd be like, oh, they're fries. And I was like,
yeah, I still get that.
Yeah.
They love that.
These were 6 years old.
Adults still do that, by the way. They just can't understand. Yeah. They're like, I don't know why. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. I'm like, whatever. You have a gun on your hip right now.
So whatever you say is fine.
Yeah. Wait, so the I was going to ask something there about the... You said six moving over. You know, in school, did they teach... So, like, that's one thing with the North, which is interesting to me, that... Some schools would teach Irish and some wouldn't, and it would be Catholic versus Protestant school.
Yeah.
So was the school you were in, did it teach Irish?
It did not.
Okay, so you were probably in a Protestant
school. I think we were in a Protestant school, yeah. I mean, I think my brothers did. Ones. Well, that's it right. It sounds like my amenities were.
They were like, we'll put her on the side of the not oppressed for good education.
She gets to pick. I mean, yeah. My elder brothers did both, like different schools throughout, because they had lived... like they were in Dublin for a couple of years before I was born, like they moved about a bit.
Yeah.
So they had done a few, but I think mine was just straight up, or they hadn't started those classes yet by the time I was getting ready to dip.
Yeah. And then, well, that's true. Yeah. Cause you would have been only six, but they started like, usually they'll be like, you come in and they're like, say the prayers, ask Welker. And you're like, in the name of, no, wait, I didn't do it. In it's Sanum. I can't do it. I don't know what the, I don't even know what the English of that. I can't remember. I blacked that shit out. But what about the kind of Protestant Catholic thing? Did you feel that when you were younger? Like this kind of like you're neither, or people would see you as different, or trying to figure out what side you were on? Do you remember that? Or was it just kids being like, you didn't experience it because you were so young?
No, I didn't experience it as much. I would experience it more when I'd go back and visit, and really? I'd be like with my cousins, and they would have like, you know, I'd go to Armagh to visit my cousins, and they'd have like a Northern Irish shirt on or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, people would go by because there are, you know, people do think like the North is just Protestants, but there are Catholics, you know, too. And so it's like, that's what the fighting is about.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, they'd see, they'd be like, you know, they'd get beat up, or like, you know, there'd be squabbles after school and stuff. And so I saw more of it then, and like people being nervous and like, yeah, like always like, oh, like figuring out like, are they Catholic? Are they Protestant? Like what part of town are they from? And my cousin did say she on an unconscious level is like putting it together, even though she's like, it's fine now. This was like 15 years ago. She's like, it's fine now. She's like, but there is just like something in your brain where you just like, for safety reasons, I guess, or it's just in you to be like piecing together where everyone's from.
I forgot to put the curtains down, which you said, promise me you'll remember to do the curtains. Sorry, Leland.
Hi, Leland.
And it's so interesting too, because it's like people with such like similar accents.
Mm-hmm.
The religion's not that far apart. And I know it comes down to this kind of, it comes down to like the British stuff, but you're seeing that like just constantly in history and today, like just these religious separations. And I know in this, it's because of the effect of like settlers and
right.
But by that point, they're like, they live it. Like they're not, it's not the people's.
It's not the people, yeah.
Yeah, like.
I remember my parents sitting us down and like telling us about it and like sort of, that was helpful, because I was like, what is going on?
How did your mom feel about it, like being president?
She felt, you know, it was interesting. My parents, when they got together, they would say, you know, they would have learned history in their schools differently.
Wow.
So they'd bring someone up and my mom would be like, oh, that guy's a traitor, he surrendered. And then my dad'd be like, that man is a hero. And they would like figure, you know, just you're just being taught different things. And I think that happens everywhere, you know, how here they're like always like France retreated, and I'm sure in France they're not like you're just getting a different version of whatever happened.
No, 100%
to make your people look.
I mean, the British never thought about how the famine was technically a genocide. Right. Or even the way they tried to get rid of like language. They did get rid. They outlawed language and Gaelic culture in the south and stuff like that. Yeah. So, but they don't teach that, or they don't say like what they did during the rising and stuff like that, which is like, it is a pity, because I feel like if we don't learn all these, like whatever history, because there's, you know, good and bad on in everybody's history, and it's important to learn it so that people don't think that they're like, no one should think that they come from a people who are above anything.
Right. We don't make any mistakes in our history. It's actually, we're full of mistakes.
I saw someone post something, and I won't say what it was, but they were basically implying that they were better, that their religion was better than a different religion. And they said, like, such and such a religion, and they said the word rape, we have never raped. And I was like, what an insane statement. But it was just like, what is happening? But which has been happening the whole time with religions. Yeah. But like, how you can go, well, I'm from this religion, so I'm way better, and none of my men.
That's what religion's like, about, being better than other people.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sorry, all like, men, what? Like all men from everywhere and anywhere have, or I heard this Irish guy say, women are getting raped in Ireland because of immigrants, which is a fucking insane. Also as well, like, you were an immigrant in the States. Secondly, that is an insane thing to say, because with rape crisis, rape crisis Ireland, they were asking women to come forward more. Which is really good that women should speak up about being assaulted. Yeah. But to think that it's not Irish born men is insane to me, because that's something Irish women can relate to and have struggled a lot. And it's not to brand all Irish men as bad, but to think that you're like, I just feel like it's more like we can assault, like, or that you don't think that your own men assault, because men assault across the board. It doesn't matter where they're born. It doesn't matter. And like with changing times, it's that they're getting educated. Hey, don't assault. But yeah, it's just like crazy statements to be like, you think everybody from your country doesn't do this?
Right.
Or you think everybody from your ethnicity or nationality?
Or you think it's never happened?
Yeah, you think you're so... And we talk about white supremacy, but there's supremacy in all... Like, if you think you're above anything, or you think all presidents are bad, or all Catholics are bad, right. And it's like... No,
yeah, or that being born or raised anywhere makes you a certain way. Yeah, it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, and people can be born and raised with like propaganda, and like the fact that your parents were able to go, okay, like with your mother specifically, like, oh God, let me listen to this Catholic guy, because he would have been technically the minority at the time, and let me learn. That's amazing. Because you have to what's that word?
Depropagandize.
Yeah, whatever that is. Like, yeah. And you can do that. People do that. We see this with like, you know, a lot of people nowadays, like a lot of brave Jewish people speaking out about what's happening in Israel, and you're like, okay, they come out and say like, I had to relearn a lot.
I do think like it is crazy when you start to like, you know, think of your parents as like just like people, and like think of them as like they were in their 30s, or like, you know, they're in their 20s. They're in their 20s when they got married, and then and it's like, it is so brave, these people who are so adventurous, and then they moved to America before the internet with 4 children. Like, that's like, my parents were older than I am now when they came to the States with 4 kids. And I'm like, that is crazy. It's a brave thing to do. And my dad's, one of my parents' best friends, they were just telling me that, like, you know, they grew up in West Belfast. And she was like, and I remember my mom would keep the bathtub full of water for any explosion. So we could and I was like, that is crazy. Also, there's just no therapy in Ireland. So I'm like, talk to somebody about that. Yeah. That is crazy.
Your mom would do that.
No, my mom's best friend would do that.
She's of course, probably fucking terrified of the IRA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. See, that's
and the
other
Catholics
side
too. Well, the Catholics
well.
Too would do it too. And it's like, they just, you know, they just never know when something was going to blow up. And it was like, I'm like, there's so much trauma in that generation.
I'm
like, that is.
But I mean, like, even for your mom and your dad, because they have kids who are kind of nearly on both sides, or no side, that nearly as well. You're nearly a target, because they could think you're Catholic or Protestant.
Right.
So like, you're nearly a target on any street, because you're not aligning with one
grabs,
side.
Yeah.
You don't have a safe side. You have a safe street. Yeah. It is. Oh, God. Yeah.
I remember a cousin being like, that's kind of the nice move to just raise them, being like, love everybody, you know?
Yeah.
And like,
I mean,
like,
but it's risky too.
It is risky. Yeah.
It's at the same time, because you're not banking on a fucking side.
Yeah. No one's going to come help you when you've got no side. But
yeah. But I mean, that's cool. Your parents were like dealing with that in the North, and then moved over to America, also dealing as being immigrants. And I don't think they were super positive to Irish immigrants. I mean, they loved them now, but I don't know when they went over in the early 90s. Did they have, was it pleasant or?
Yeah, I think they had a pretty
good. Oh, okay, good for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they're okay. They're okay. Nothing, there wasn't anything wild. Yeah, I think there was a lot of like, yeah, a lot of like, oh, I'm from Ireland. My mom would be like, oh, where? And they'd be like, oh, Michigan. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of like.
That's fine. That's
or people perfect. Being like, thinking they know more about Ireland than you and being like, you know, my mom would say a town, they'd be like, actually, it's pronounced this way. And my mom would be like, I lived there for 40 yeah, years. Like, off. She's like, what?
That's
you've
the,
never
that's
been.
That's the confidence yeah. here. Like, oh, I must know. And then I've never. It's like when they say, like, Galloway, and you're like, Galway, yeah. and they're like, Galloway, and you're like, Galway, and they're like, Galloway.
Or Donegal. Right. Happens with Donegal all the time, too. They're like, Donegal. And you're like,
yeah.
You're like, no. You're just like, okay, just move on. It's a lot of just moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But.
And so you're here in New York now.
Yes.
Let me check how long I've been.
I'm a fresh New Yorker.
Fresh New Yorker.
Putting the new in New York.
Yeah.
Since August I've been here.
And let me think, what was the last question I wanted to ask you? I guess for any of the listeners who are dating, and so you're obviously do you identify as gay or just LGBTQ?
I identify as lesbian, but I also say gay.
Yeah.
I also, the kids say queer.
I'm always so confused. I'm like, what is the offensive? Because when I grew up, yeah, queer was an offensive word, but I guess now it's more inclusive, which is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched All of Us Strangers and they talked about it and it was kind of like they were talking about like coming from different generations mm-hmm. of two gay men and one using queer and one using gay. But okay. So you identify as lesbian. Would you have any tips for any listeners Ooh. Who are like, okay, firstly, if they're like, okay, I want to date, I want to, yeah, just any tips for dating, like going to kind of,
tips for dating.
If you're in New York City, what's a good bar?
Oh, wow.
Especially maybe for like an Irish woman coming over. I'm being very specific right now. Okay. I'm an Irish lesbian woman. Here you go. But yeah, what is a good
accent? You want her with the accent?
Yeah, what's a good LGBT bar here? I don't know.
There's a cool lesbian bar in Brooklyn, shout out to Brooklyn, called Ginger's.
Gingers.
That's really cute. That's a fun one. I have recently gotten on Hinge.
Okay.
The most wonderful app.
Yeah.
Big fan so far of Hinge. I'm like, because I feel like people in New York are just so, like, it is crazy to be, like, there's so many lesbians here. I'm actually just dating one person. But
I'm
just dating one person right now. But, like, Hinge, it's just, like, I feel like it's so funny. Cause, you know, I just have heard all, like, the comedy about dating apps for so long. I've never been on it before. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I feel like it's such a male perspective to, like, hate dating apps. Because I'm like, women are wonderful. And here they just are on this little app on your, it's, like, it's amazing. So go to Ginger's. Open Hinge. Go to Ginger's. That's my advice.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have, like, a favorite Irish pub that you go to around here?
I don't know. I guess the Dead Rabbit because I run the show there, but I really like it. And I don't think I've been to any LGBT. I tried to kind of question my sexuality at one point and then I went on Hinge and put girls, but then I got ghosted by a girl and I was like, whew, it hurts more. Yeah.
It does feel more personal.
Yeah. And then there was one night in a bar where I nearly went home with a woman. And I don't think I've ever talked about this in the podcast, but it got interrupted by some random guy being like, you girls are so cute. And then the girl was like really interested in that. And I was like, OK, I can't go from questioning what I want to now treat people.
Yeah.
That's too far. I'm like, this jump. The sexual positivity, I'm not there. So so I never did end up exploring it. But that's kind of what's fun about New York. You can kind of just kind of be more fluid and find things out. But I think a while later, maybe I got with Leland. And then, so I never had gone to a bar or sort of. I had a friend who was going to a bar when she kind of realized she was bisexual.
Fun.
And she got to explore that a lot. And it was really nice to have just like women's spaces.
Yeah. It would be such a different experience to come out. I feel like in New York, it'd be wild. I mean, I feel like I came out in Pittsburgh, you know, there were some spaces that were lovely, but like there's just a million people, a billion.
Yeah, there's so, I've had friends who like, I had a friend who worked in like as a madam, mm-hmm. and she was one of the first guests on this podcast like 7 or 6 years ago. I don't know. This podcast is way pre-pandemic, so. But she worked in this as a madam and people would come and get like, and it was very not fully sexed so that they couldn't, because I think that's like illegal or something. Mm-hmm. But But they would have other fantasies, like, you know, people coming, like, dressing up as a baby or, like, whatever, and get to explore that with these professionals or, like, whipped or whatever. But it's, like, that's kind of cool that you get to...
Like, whatever you're into is happening in New York City. Yeah. I just did the Naked Show. Have you done the Naked Show in
Brooklyn?
You'll never do it. I just did it on Friday, and it was...
I'll have gang sex or group sex. That me and that girl, I will go with you'll go back and bring in time. Eland, then before getting naked on a show.
It was wild, yeah. But
oh, no.
But I was like, I just was like, New York City.
Man. Good for you.
What
good
a town. I was like, that is, I just like, whatever you're like, to be like, I'd like to go see a naked comedy show. Like, just that's happening here is like anything you can think of is happening here. And it is mind boggling, to be honest.
And like sex clubs. I talked about this on the podcast before, like a long time ago. And I went to one just to investigate.
Nice, with a little notebook.
Yeah, so it was like Dez at the time, his friend would go to them and he asked her, could she bring me? And you have to send a picture of yourself in a bikini or lingerie. And then the women get in for free, but the men have to pay $2,000 to go.
$2,000.
Yeah. So it was like wealthy men where they weren't like my type or whatever, but it was really interesting to see like different rooms and that people can do that. And if you're in a long-term monogamous relationship too, that could be an option for spicing it up as well, because you could go and do like voyeurism or...
So interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was like performers in it too. It was a wild time, but yeah. So
nice that the women get in free. I love you.
Yeah, I know. It's nice. It's weird.
It's
at
a little
the same
creepy.
Time.
It's a little
it's
bit
a little, like sexualizing.
It's a little off. Yeah, it's a little off.
I wish they had to screen some of these guys. Yeah. Like, well, as we say in Ireland, that guy's a minger, which is ugly. But I guess he got money, so it's weird. It's like, what are you going to turn down a woman? What if she is $2,000? Let her, like, or also what? I'm sure they probably just let all the women in. They just want to know that you're comfortable de-dressing. Maybe that's why they have a picture of a bikini. Maybe, I don't know. Here's me trying to make excuses for that place.
Yeah,
but
wild.
It was weird, and people to get like a weird like you know those like when you see satanic movies and they're all dressing up with hoods and wearing masks. Well, it was like the card for the place was like that, like this spooky. But then it wasn't like that when you. I know.
What an interesting marketing tactic.
People wore masks. Some people. I don't think I didn't wear a mask. I was just like, okay. I'm here like a journalist. Yeah. You can't take your phone, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, is there anything? I feel like there's more I should be asking for any listeners who, because I don't think we had one other guest on, and she was in the big Eurovision.
Oh.
And she talked a lot about dating her partner and kind of like what that was like to kind of come out in Ireland and be in it. But she'd gotten into a relationship straight away and has been in that relationship since. So she said she had that very like what they say about lesbian women, where they kind of will date immediately and date long term.
Oh yeah.
Which I was like, that's why I want to be in a relationship. That sounds great. Someone come into you. But then you're obviously had very different experiences because you're not in a relationship now.
I'm not currently married. I was in one for 5 years until February.
Oh yeah, you should fuck around.
Yeah, so I'm in my New York era.
You're home base, yeah. As they say.
Yeah. So
you're in the perfect place for
that. New York City. It's wild.
Oh, I also watched, did you watch the Ultimatum Queer
The Girl Ultimatum? I have not seen it yet, but I've heard.
It was, what did you hear first?
I heard that it is the best season. The best. It's full of juice. It's full of fun.
It's the best. And there was a lot of like, it's the best. And there was some people saying like there was a lot of toxic stuff in it and stuff like that. What I noticed was women are such good communicators. Like there was like a couple who, there was a person who I don't think would identify as a woman, but wasn't a great communicator. And there was definitely other stuff. But I found that like the way women can communicate and use their words and kind of express how they're feeling was like, oh, this is great.
It is
and
lovely.
There was still like some, you know, like toxic characters in it. But for the most part, it was like, there's a lot of great talk in here. Mm-hmm. This is good.
So it's mostly chatting. You sit down, you have a nice chat, a lot of feelings, and it's wonderful.
I mean, the opposite with dating men is I found in my experience being like that some, and I find this as an Irish woman too, so it's not just a shit on men. I think anywhere where you come from where you don't learn what your emotions are and you don't really talk about feelings as much, when it's not as big in the culture to talk about feelings in Ireland. So I think like Americans talk about feelings more, and then women talk about feelings a lot, so they're very well equipped. But and again, I would say Irish women talk about feelings more than Irish men, but I still don't think so. What am I trying to say? Basically, I wouldn't know what I was feeling till I was already acting on it. Like, I think I'm just, and then I'd be like, no, that's not it, or that's not it. So I'd nearly need to be like, and I find men are like that too, where you're talking to them. I'm much better at it now, and I've gone to therapy and stuff, so I'm a way better communicator. But like,
therapy,
yeah, it's so good.
It's the best.
It just lets you because you get to figure out that space there before you go to the person.
Yes.
Because then all of a sudden you're like, they're like, well, this makes me feel. And you're like, oh no, wait, sorry, I've gone down the wrong road, because that's not what I mean.
Right. Hold on.
Like, oh, sorry, I'm not. No, I didn't know what that word meant. Mm-hmm. But I do find with men, they are like, I don't know what this feel. I don't know what the word is for this feeling.
Because
you're like, how does that make you feel? Or like, I want you, even if it's that you're mad at me or you're annoyed, I want you to tell me, because then we can move forward. And they're like, I genuinely don't know what is happening right now.
Don't know what I'm feeling.
They need to go process it. And then they will come back. And I think as men date women, they get to work on that and get better communicators. But when I was watching that show, I was like, well, this is great. They're just like, and then you said this and this made me feel this way. And but this could be coming from my trauma, because sometimes with my brain, and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
No,
I was going to say, it is interesting, because with certain women, it's like there is that thing of like, you just in the moment know the feeling, like very in therapy, ready to talk about it. And then some women I've dated, it's like they have that process, like they need to go away and then come back like in a day. And it's like, you know, you just never know what you're gonna get until you're in a big conversation.
Yeah, maybe it's not gendered. It just depends on whether the people were brought up talking about feelings.
Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah, because I feel like in Ireland a lot of women would struggle with that too. My friend sent me the emotion wheel once, and I was like,
"Ooh!" I remember my therapist pulled it out for the first time, and I was like, "A lot of these I've never heard."
I was like, "That's not an emotion. That's a funny word." Yeah.
What does this say?
I'm like, "I'm sorry. I thought there was 5 emotions. Yeah. You just pulled out like hundreds. This is madness." Yeah.
That's a good exercise. They should have to make you make the feelings wheel so they know what you're dealing with.
Yeah, and when you're in the feeling, be like. Because if you don't tell a person that that's the feeling, you don't know. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, you're depressed. Because sometimes I don't know if I'm depressed or full, you know, especially if I'm drinking Guinness.
Yeah.
Because it's so heavy. I'm like, I was with my friend Jer Staunton, great comedian, I follow him. But I was literally like, I just don't know if we've drank too many Guinnesses or if I'm drinking to the point of depression. Or it's just that I'm really feeling like just really full up with the Guinness.
Or it's just winter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, am I sad or is it grey outside? Yeah.
I haven't seen the sun in a few days.
Yeah, I need the vitamin D. Where can people find you in this? And you just released a... You know what's so interesting now? Now I understand why you called your... What did you call it? You called it bomb threat.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's because you're from the north.
Yes, exactly. And I have a joke about how I was in middle school in America and there was a bomb threat called into my school and everyone's parents came to get them except for mine.
This is a Tuesday back home.
They were like, what do you want us to do, Alan?
Yeah.
And so it's just a very specific whoop. So yeah, so I named it after that. And then also I feel like, you know, every time you do a comedy, it's a threat of a bomb.
Oh,
kind of a meta joke there. So
where is that? That's out.
That's out album? That's on Spotify. It's on Sirius. It's anywhere you find albums.
Great. I'll put the link in the bio.
Thank you so much.
Is there a video element of a special?
There are some clips, but not a full one. Now. Okay. Yeah. And then I'm at How the Helen. Most places.
How the Helen.
Little pun, you know.
Perfect. Okay. And for the listeners, I don't know what I want to say. Love yous. leave the bloody review thingy. Nice ones, positive. I haven't asked for that in a while, so that'd be actually good. And videos on Patreon. Love yous. Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.